Greetings this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's a blessing to be here together, and it always brings a lot of memories to gather at the tent again. And we heard quite a bit about the goodness of God and things God has done in our midst, or that have happened in the past here this morning. And when you gather at the tent, we always have lots of memories like that from the tent itself. Thanks for that song, Brother Reuben. If you don't mind, I'd like to read it again. I know you didn't do it intentionally, but I'd like to make a point out of it. Verse 3, "Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified one, he will your answer be." He will your answer be. Now that's literally at the day of judgment. He will your answer be. Struck me as you were reading that. I don't know if I'm going to keep myself straight here this morning or not. I'm going to attempt to. Some ways I feel like I'm not prepared enough. In other ways, I feel I have too much to say. I was very blessed this morning. A couple of the scriptures that I chose to just leave, Brother Jason read for me. I finally sat there and cried. It's like, God is so good to us. There's just so much time we have. The title this morning is The Ministry of Reconciliation. And I'd like to look at it from a couple different aspects. I brought some papers that I'd like the ushers to pass out. And what I attempted to do on that paper is give a very basic, here's what needs to happen in order for someone to get born again. Very basic. And as we look at the ministry of reconciliation, the one we've been hearing about this morning already that I'm a little fearful I won't get enough time for, is that all of us that have been reconciled to God have a ministry. And I don't have it on my notes, but if we're sitting here and we think it has to be an ordained minister to lead someone through to Christ, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're going to be purposeless in our lives. If we've been reconciled to God, he in turn is giving us a ministry of reconciliation. And I'll be honest with you, I really struggled what to put on this paper because the Bible is so full. It is so full of good verses and scriptures to use. So if you look at it and you say, "Oh, you didn't use my favorite verse," I'm not surprised. That's okay. You use your favorite verse. But the goal was to put something in your hand that you can at least begin off of and take with you. So I thought about it. If I go through it and I feel I don't have enough time and I'm pushing myself a little bit, how are you ever going to remember and go home and you're going to say, "I wish I could remember that. I wish I had it all written down." So take it, do whatever you want to with it. If you're here and you're not born again today, here's some basics that need to happen in your heart and in your life. I'd like to look at the ministry of reconciliation. Today I'd like to to look at it in three different aspects. First of all, I'd like to say reconciliation brings newness of life. Reconciliation brings newness of life. The ministry of reconciliation is the core of the gospel. Let me say that again. The ministry of reconciliation is the core of the gospel. If we don't get to reconcile to God, we're done. We've been hearing about that judgment day that's coming. We're done. The ministry of reconciliation is at the core of the gospel. First of all, I'd like to look at we are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, which I took that statement off of your paper, but that's the point I have here for the paper you got. Number two is being reconciled with your brother. And number three, being ambassadors of reconciliation. That all comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you could turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 17, and we're going to read to the end. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Should clarify, point number two is from Matthew, but it's also about reconciliation. You know, we all know 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We enjoy that verse. We like to proclaim that verse. And if we can honestly proclaim that verse, hallelujah, amen, praise God. In fact, there's a song that is based on that verse that I think a number of us know that I thought maybe we'd just sing here at least some of it. It's called, I'm a New Creation. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Hallelujah, he redeemed me. I've been born again to win. I thank God he justified me. Of his fullness we've all received of him. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Let's sing that verse again. We'll get it a little more. Hallelujah, he redeemed me. I've been born again to win. I thank God he justified me. Of his fullness we've all received of him. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Amen. Great song, especially when it's real in our hearts. That's verse 17, and then verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's where the title comes from this morning, the ministry of reconciliation. He says to God, to wit, that God was in Christ. We'd like to have that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but he's committed unto us this word of reconciliation. He's committed it to us. And then he goes on in verse 20, talking about us being ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you, we pray you in Christ's stead, that we would in Christ's stead, leading people to reconciliation to God. And when God does a work in our hearts, and we go and share that with other people, that's what begins to happen. But then when you find one of those ripe fruits, what do I do with it? What do I do with it? I've never done this. Maybe what you're saying. And it may be wise your first time to have someone along that has done it before. Maybe that's not an option. Can we lead them through to Christ, the ministry of reconciliation? Now, I'd like to just step back a little bit. The first part of this ministry of reconciliation has to do with us, the ministry of reconciliation. We can't help anybody else before we receive that ourselves. We can't help anyone else until we've received that ourselves. Brother Jason was talking this morning that the aspect that most of us here are born again. Well, for a bit here, I'd like to talk to the rest. It's okay for most of us to be born again. But for a bit here, I'd like to just talk to the rest. And the part that blesses my heart this morning is, what works for me is the same that works for everybody else. So as we talk to those that are not born again, it's like we're doing point number one and point number three almost at the same time. So we're going to go down through the same thing, and praise God for that. We can't share with someone else what is not real in our hearts and lives. I'd like to use an illustration that's based on Proverbs 28:13. That verse says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." I don't know, did we sing song number 100 this morning or not? I wasn't here, but I would ask for it. We've been singing that song once we're maybe at the end of the service here. Song number 100, Mercy's Free. We've been singing that psalm, and I think that's good. But whoso confesses and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy. Shall have mercy. But if we cover our sins, we shall not prosper. And if I just take this paper and write pride on it, that one I think I should probably make look a little bit messy. Um, I'm going to write lying on another one. Actually, why don't we write white lie on one? Now that one we should fold really neatly. And actually, we'll tuck it underneath there. How about anger? That one could be several ways. Sometimes it's in a big wad, and other times it's sort of however, more quiet. Unforgiveness. With that could come bitterness. That one for sure needs to. Selfishness. We could put selfish actions, actually, or responses. Most of these don't sound very good. Maybe we could just write ill feelings on one. With all that junk in our lives, you know, we know that isn't very good. And for the sinner that is honest and open, the ministry of reconciliation, the gospel of Jesus Christ comes and says, I died for that. I died for that. But in order to have reconciliation, there needs to be repentance. There needs to be confession of sin. There needs to be forgiveness. Now, I know I have a few more things on your paper, but I'd like to sort of carry those through this morning. Repentance, confession, then forgiveness. Now, what our tendency is, we sort of get concerned, coming from religious backgrounds, how this looks sometimes. So that doesn't look good. We try to do something about it. We get this all in here, tucked under the carpet, so it looks better. Now that improves things. And we tell ourselves that improves things a lot. We cleaned up the mess. You know, we talk about sometimes in our community here and about the housewife that she just sweeps her dirt under the furniture. And it's sort of a something everybody chuckles at and knows nobody does. But in our spiritual lives, how many times do we get the broom out and just sort of sweep it and cover it up? There's some ugly stuff written on that paper. There's some really ugly stuff written on that on those papers. And I really prefer not having to talk about them or deal with them or bring them out. Often we're ashamed of them. And no wonder, this kind of person, why would we not be ashamed? In our minds, we know better. But what has happened in our heart doesn't match what I know up here in my head. And as hard as I try, I can't get it to go away and quit. Sometimes we say, well, you know, this looks a little wrinkled. Why don't I walk on it? Now I have it looking really good. Oh, there's some tracks. Let me smooth those out. Brush this up real good. Still got a couple bumps I can't get rid of. Well, most people won't see that. And we think we have it fairly fixed. I mean, I can look fairly good. There is a verse that I don't have this morning. I just need to mention it, that some people's sins go before the judgment. Other people's, they follow after to judgment. And at judgment day, I think we've heard before this last week, if I remember right, that they'll be shouted from the housetops. That's not a good option. That's not a good option. The ministry of reconciliation. You know, it would be better if I didn't even have a carpet. And I brought one of different color here so you all could see it well this morning, but I also realized I should have one that is nice and gray that blends in so it's harder yet to see. Because I don't want anybody to know I have a carpet. That's what we do in our hearts. We don't want anybody to know we have a carpet. Well, we can be reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. And you can go to your papers. The first step is to acknowledge I've got a carpet. There's a carpet in my life. There's stuff under the carpet that are not good, that'll keep me out of heaven. We need to see ourselves as lost sinners and agree with God in Romans chapter 3, 23, when he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that's as simple as just picking up the carpet and seeing there it is. There's the rotten mess of me. And I need to agree with God that I'm a sinner, that I'm lost. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 39. Now when ye heard this, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And this thing about pricked, I was looking it up, but I didn't have time or space on my paper. It's a strong stirring. They were deeply moved in their hearts. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then said Peter unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The main thing I wanted here was repent. But as you can see, there's more things in here. And I'm going to let you have that and use it. But today I'm going to try to go on without talking about them. Repent. We need to see that we're lost sinners. Next, we need to repent of going our own way. We need to repent of trying to do this ourselves. We need to repent of having that mess in our lives. We need to repent. The word repent means to think differently, or to think afterwards toward a certain direction, or reconsider. It also means to change our mind, to change our direction, to give up our own will. There isn't going to be change. We're not going to think different as long as we hold on to ourselves and my way of thinking and running the show. You've often heard about who's sitting on the throne of your heart. If we stay on the throne of a heart, we're not going to think different. It's going to just be business as usual. And the carpet overtopped the whole mess. Covered over. Oh, now I got to straighten things back out. See, as soon as we mess with it, why, we immediately leave evidence, and we have to always be trying to cover things up. Everywhere we go, we're leaving prints, if it's fingerprints or footprints, and then we got to try to smooth it all back out. What about repenting and saying, I give up my own will. I give up my own way. I surrender. I yield. And when we yield, the next step is that we confess our sins. We confess our sins. You know, and when we truly repent and we confess our sins, we come to God in desperation. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They that call upon the name of the Lord. Some earnestness with it, I believe. Desperation. God, unless you save me, I die. I don't know if you've seen souls in agony or not. If you haven't, I pray you will. Hopefully you were one of them in desperation. One of the questions that's been asked over the years is, so how do you feel about it? Could you go home and pray about this for another day or so and seek the Lord? And there's those that say, I can't go home. I've got to get right with God. The ministry of reconciliation is for you if you're at that place. You saw it in Acts chapter 2 where they're saying, men, brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in heart. We need to confess our sins. You know, when we're desperate, we're done covering it up. We're done covering it up. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm not trying to save my face anymore. I'm forgetting about being ashamed of all that rotten stuff underneath the carpet. That's the place to be in confessing our sins. And of course, I'm thinking privately somewhere where you can pray with someone. Would encourage that. God meets people on their own too, but I'd encourage you to pray with someone. And we don't know. You know, many times you start somewhere. In fact, if you're helping someone, I'm just going to give you this right away on the ministry of reconciliation. If you're helping someone, have a paper. And as they begin to pour out their heart, just start writing down notes. I lied to Mom. I know that was bad. Lied to Mom. Maybe it was lied to Mom specifically about so-and-so. Lied to Mom and write down what it was. And just let them share and keep writing it down. Get them to open their hearts and share their hearts. Spill it all out. And then when it's time to pray, lay the paper in front of them. Now you tell God about all this. Break your heart before God. Tell him what a lost sinner you are. Get honest about it. Beg him for mercy. This one has lying on it. Out comes the lying. On the list of lying, sometimes there's a list of things. Lying. And with the lying, I believe this is the one that was neatly tucked. Yeah, it says white lie. All of a sudden, a white lie matters. White lies are not considered to be a blatant lie, but they also weren't the truth. Maybe it's sidestepped being honest, white lies. And we keep on going, confessing our sins. Oh, here is bitterness. This could have to do with mom and dad. This could have to do with brothers and sisters. This could have to do with someone doing something to you that wasn't right. Many times it's heartbreaking, but get it out. Just get it out. Spill it. We're talking about the ministry of reconciliation, getting right with God. And getting right with God the whole way through. Just get it out. Repentance, confession, and forgiveness. There are times when bitterness in our lives is connected to things other people have done. And we need to forgive them. As painful as that may be, to simply let go and forgive them. This one says anger. This has a lot to do with the real me, but if we've got bitterness in our lives, there's normally anger around. But there can be anger without bitterness. This is one that was a major problem in my life. Anger. I had a short fuse. And I had to get earnest with God to overcome that thing. Something that would happen that would displease me and I'd just pop right off immediately. But through the ministry of reconciliation and the power of the Spirit of God, we can overcome those things. That one didn't just all go away from me when I got born again. I spend time fasting and praying to overcome that thing. I remember finally I started singing just as soon as I started feeling angry. That was a key for me. It's not the same for everybody. Sang a whole verse of I don't know what song, and I couldn't carry a tune till I got to the chorus. When I could finally carry a tune, my anger was gone. Literally, battling vicious feelings inside. God, help me. Anger. Repentance of anger. Pride. How we think about ourselves. We all think very highly of ourselves. You know, we all think the way I feel and the way I see it. That's right. We all think that way. Unregenerated sinners, we're looking to have our own way. That's a part of coming and admitting, I'm surrendering, and pride should go with it. I'm surrendering. I'm yielding. It's not about me anymore. But now it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Pride. Maybe specific things that we've done in our lives where pride showed itself in an ugly way. Ill feelings, that goes along with bitterness. Ill feelings, wishing someone else evil, hoping they learn a good hard lesson for what they've done. Oh Lord, help us. Ill feelings. We need to repent of those things. C, selfishness. Selfishness in actions, selfishness in responses. You know, I'm responsible for my responses. I'm responsible. I can't blame somebody else for my responses. I can't do that. You are not responsible for my responses. But we are all responsible for our own responses. Oh, but I did that because they were so unkind to me. If they just wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have had to respond the way I did. Well, where did the Lord Jesus say that? It's amazing to go through the Gospels and see how he responded. To finally on the cross, he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In mercy, in compassion, he longs to help their soul. Oh, for a heart like that. The ministry of reconciliation, repentance, dealing with our own heart and life. True repentance. Unforgiveness. I know this is my last paper, but I have this feeling I have left major things undone because I didn't have an exact list what I was going to write on these papers. Unforgiveness. We're going to talk about that one some more in point number two today. We cannot go on with God with unforgiveness in our lives. It's not possible. God doesn't operate that way. So, if I have unforgiveness in my heart, he says he's not going to forgive me. I cannot repent and get right with God with unforgiveness in my heart. Oh, I just thought of another one. Very major one is rebellion. Rebellion. That one's connected to pride. It's always this debate which one was first, pride or rebellion. You look at the rebellion of Lucifer. They're so hand in hand, it's difficult to separate the two. But rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Repentance, confess our sins. Acts chapter 19. I'd like to encourage us. Part of the exercise here was to get us to think about being specific when we're confessing our sins. Be specific. Deal with things specifically. Don't gloss it over. Shallow conversions come out of shallow confession, shallow repentance. Acts chapter 19, verse 18. This is at Ephesus. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. But they came, they confessed, and they showed their deeds. And I don't know that that means that we loudly come up here and confess all our sins for everybody to hear. But when we sneak off in a corner to try to confess things so others don't hear, somehow it does not work. I don't know if I can explain it to you scripturally, but it's happened over and over. It doesn't work. You need someone with you. When it comes to confession of sin, I'd like to give just a little bit of direction. There's several aspects here, see if I can keep myself straight. One would be when there's offenses committed against somebody else. Zacchaeus gave us the example of going back and making it right. And first of all, that's an opportunity we can share. I repented. I got born again, and I'm here to make my wrongs right. I distinctly remember those things in my life. I'm sorry I did so and so. Can you please forgive me? And if it was something that was ruined something or took someone else's property, we need to do what we need to restore it. Confession, making things right, restoring things. Another thing is, sometimes we sin specifically against a person. If there's rebellion against mom or dad, we need to go back and confess to them and ask them to forgive us. If we've been mean with our neighbor, I think we ought to go back and make that right with that neighbor. If I come up here and make a scene in front of all of you, I need to come back up here and make it right. To go to the back closet and try to do it there, I don't think that's going to cut it. We don't find victory that way. Rather, it's, you know, get the carpet out and conceal. There's things that happen in the closet. Moral issues that happen in the closet where we comfort ourselves, nobody knows. On that one, you try to confess that in the closet by yourself and you don't get victory. That's how it is. But I'd like to give a little caution about coming up here and doing it or in the midst of the church. I think there's some discretion needs used on some of those. Sometimes I've seen it where there's a members meeting called, depending what happened. And confessions are made. Confessions in brothers' meeting. Maybe a confession in a sister's meeting. Maybe it's a smaller circle of accountability. It varies. But I'd like to encourage, use discretion about what on moral issues, what you just say openly in confession. It's not always appropriate. But I'm not for covering things up. They showed their deeds. They showed their deeds. John 1:19, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Next, we need to believe we have forgiveness and redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to believe that He died in my stead, in my place. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified as if we hadn't sinned. By His divine influence, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation for us, to be in our place through faith, in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Oh, mercy's free. Mercy's free. But we need to have faith. I've seen it, and others have too here, where someone is convinced they're a sinner. They're convinced they're lost. They're confessing their sins. They're repenting. But somehow they can't believe God, that God would actually forgive them. And you're stuck. You're stuck until you can believe God, until you can have faith that Jesus died for me. Jesus, the Son of the living God, came to this earth and He gave His life on the cross of Calvary and He shed His blood there for me. When we can actually see that and believe it by faith, oh, something happens in our hearts. The next one is the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. As that faith begins to reach out And usually what happens is this poor, wretched soul is pouring and pouring and pouring out their sins and their wretchedness and their ugliness. And God, please forgive me. And then there comes a point where they've emptied out. And inside, the Spirit of God begins to witness, you've repented. And all of a sudden, out of their mouth comes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when that peace begins to come and flow in the heart, an assurance comes. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And this one goes on talking about redemption, or adoption and all of that, which I didn't have space for. But when the Spirit of God comes and bears witness that we're right with God, we get peace. We get peace. Another term is heaven opened up. Heaven opened up. All of a sudden, I'm a new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The ministry of reconciliation, transformation. We need repentance. We need confession. We need forgiveness. You know, as we go through this process, there's a lot of counseling centers today that want to take you through all kinds of meticulous things. I'm here to propose the simplicity of the gospel today. Repentance, confession, and forgiveness. Let me say it again. Repentance, confession of our sins, and forgiveness. It fits one or the other. We need to see our lost condition and repent and confess our sins. But we've been sinned against. The answer in the Bible is we forgive. And oh, the healing that comes when we forgive. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Then I do believe there's another step that is important. Luke chapter 11. He gives the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. And if you say unto me, and I say unto you, I'm sorry, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now this scripture is almost identical in Matthew, but it doesn't quite say in the end what it does here. It calls it good gifts in Matthew. Let's go on verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask God to fill you with his Spirit. And we have a promise. If we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, it's going to be opened. Well, according to the clock, that was point number one and point number three. Point number two, being reconciled with your brother. Matthew 5, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. It's a little bit different word, or it is a different word here on reconcile, means to change thoroughly. That means, and that is mentally to conciliate. And I believe it comes back to the same idea of restore, restoring. You know, we can talk about the ministry of reconciliation and how it relates between me and God. In fact, it may be easy to claim to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. But what is happening with our relationships here on the earth? What is happening with them? According to the Bible, it's directly connected to our relationship with God. 1 John 4, verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And then Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I believe it's in Luke where that example is of the steward that was called in to give account, and he owed how many millions, I can't remember. And he begged for mercy, and his Lord forgave him. Then he went out and took a fellow servant by the throat, and he owed him like $26 or something. And he said, pay me everything you owe me. And he said, give me a little time, I'll pay you. And he wouldn't. He wouldn't. But thrust him in prison over that puny little bit. And I think we all know the story. His Lord called him in and was displeased, and he ended up in prison himself. Well, this is a spiritual principle, established principle. I want to call it a fact. Doesn't sound like the right word. But it's an established precept from God. We don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. But here we are as real people relating to each other and interacting with each other. And even though we are born again and we've been transformed and we're new creatures, we still do things to each other that aren't always so special. And sometimes the way I or we have perceived something wasn't that way at all, but I perceive it a certain way because of what I've been through. The other person meant nothing by it. Shall we take each other by the throat and declare, pay me all you owe? But if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 5 again, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. What are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What are my attitudes? What are my responses? Why are they there? What are my thoughts, feelings, and attitudes and responses toward my father, toward my mother, toward my brother, toward my sister, toward my husband, toward my wife? What are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What are my attitudes? What are my responses? Do I have things under the carpet, tucked away, that I don't want to talk about? I don't want anybody to know they're there. I just want to say it's okay. Our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes, and our responses towards others directly affect our relationship with God. Whether we like it or not, they directly affect our relationship with God. And it directly affects the ministry of reconciliation in our lives. It directly affects the ministry of reconciliation in our lives. What are my thoughts, my feelings, my attitudes and responses toward my brother or sister in church? Towards church leadership? What about my employer, my boss, or my fellow workers? What are my thoughts? What are my feelings, my attitudes, and my responses? Do I have things under the carpet? We're real people. We're real people. Yesterday at the wedding, the young couple was told that they have the opportunity to be the first perfect couple. That's thought-provoking if you really think about it. That's an open confession that the rest of us aren't perfect. Let's not pretend. But when we're real and we're honest and we just take the carpet and remove it and we're real about who we are and we can converse with each other, I've needed a lot of forgiveness. I've needed a lot of forgiveness. And I believe that was what the parable lesson was supposed to be, of the one that owed a lot. We have needed a lot of forgiveness. Can't we forgive each other? Those little things that are worth about $26? You know, really, when we think about it in perspective, and I don't know what's in anybody's life here today, the ministry of reconciliation within the body of Christ, within our relationships as God's people, with other people outside the church. Can I say, I'm sorry? Can I say, I'm wrong? Can I say, I have failed? Can I say, will you forgive me? Can I say, I forgive you? And mean it. Sometimes we do that stuff and we're again sweeping under the carpet. Just want to get beyond it. But let it go to my heart. Am I willing to change my mind? Am I willing to change my mind? In order to have reconciliation, we need repentance, we need confession, we need forgiveness. I'd like to give an illustration of two little boys. These two little boys, they were playing with their toys. And a problem came up. They got offended at each other, and they weren't wanting to share their toys. You could have it be in the same family or several families. The parents came and gave correction to those boys. They gave direction to them. They said, I'm sorry. I forgive you. But they don't want to play together anymore. We all understand that one, don't we? What about when it's big boys? Why is it so much more difficult to understand? Sobering questions. As I was preparing for this, I'd sit there and just think. What about us big boys? We understand when the little boys, they say, I'm sorry, I forgive you. but they won't play together anymore. We know what that's all about. If we want revival, we just all need to get honest. And praise God if you're sitting here and have a completely clean slate on everything I'm saying today. Hallelujah. Go for it with the ministry of reconciliation. But many times, we drag things along that need taken care of. How do I respond to dad and to mom? How do I respond? How do I feel toward them? Is there somebody that you're holding by the throat? Is there? It has to come up and come up and come up and come up. I'm not going to forgive them until they pay their dues and do thus, thus, and thus. You know, in all honesty, when we're the ones that do that, we're also the ones that are not forgiven. That's what the Bible says. When I do that, I'm hurting this person right here. The ministry of reconciliation. Unwilling to be together, to walk together, to talk together, to work together. And in church, you could say, pray together, and sing together, and rejoice together, and share together. But there is a need that we choose. We make a decision. Sometimes even agree together. Here's a difficult relationship. We want to, let's just say all parties involved, or both parties involved, because there's at least two parties, claim to be born again, brand new creatures in Christ, but we're having this difficulty. Can we agree together? We're going to build a relationship. We're going to build a relationship and begin to do positive things that impact that relationship. And when the moment comes to get offended or to question, we say, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Another one, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, fulfill ye my joy. No, I'm sorry. I'm jumping myself. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So much to learn in that area of esteeming others better than ourselves. I would love to hear what you've learned about that. But esteeming others better than ourselves means I take time to listen. I take time to hear. Instead of waiting till the other person is done talking so I can say my piece. I've done that. That's not preferring others. That's all about me. And sometimes we have something positive to contribute that maybe we need to make a note. But listen, hear that other person. Read Proverbs sometime. We can't go there today. About being swift to speak and the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. Ah, challenging. How fast do I talk? If I'm always just spewing right off and have all the answers. Is the Bible true or isn't it? In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. I'm caught if that's where I am. Challenging, challenging words. Preferring others. Like to go back and just touch a couple things in point number three, being ambassadors of reconciliation. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And peacemakers, you know, the first thing we think about is reconciling between two parties. That's a peacemaker. But I think it fits for us to be peacemakers, leading people to Christ, and they find peace. That's being peacemakers. That's being peacemakers. The ministry of reconciliation, Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Acts 1, verse 7 and 8, "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The ministry of reconciliation, if we're right with God, it's ours. It's ours, each one of us. We're part of the plan. If you've gotten born again, you're right with God, you're part of the plan. You can sing that song, "I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away, and behold, everything has become new." You can say that, you're part of the plan of the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Praise God. "Both in Judea and all Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. After we've been reconciled to God, he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. I'd like to just read a couple verses yet. Very familiar verses that you might want to write down. These I don't have on the list I gave you, but this is examples of other scriptures you can use, as simple as 1 John 3. And I'm not even going to read it all. I'm going to start in verse 16. Everybody knows 1 John 3:16. How many people, can someone quote 1 John 3 verse 17 here today? Go ahead. Yeah, right. Precious verse. Oh, sorry. Did I say 1 John? Yeah, sorry. See how human I am? We're all the same, aren't we? 1 John 3:17. Let's start in verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that verse is a favorite for good reason. But the next one is just as good. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, that one's clear. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. How different. And you know, for the person that is walking away from God, they like the carpet. They take the whole pile and put it under the carpet. They don't want that stuff in the light, he says here. And there's a contrast, a big contrast. The person, one is coming to the light so that everything can be known, and the other one is trying to stay away from the light and cover it all up so nobody sees. Which camp are we in today? Which camp are we in today? We are either eligible for the ministry of reconciliation or a laborer in the ministry of reconciliation. It's one or the other. And there's times that as God's people, we run into problems and we begin to carry more baggage with us, and we need to come back to this reconciliation thing again. You know, there's a sense we could say that's what tent meetings are about. But the vibrant Christian takes care of those things right as they come up, try to deal with them right away, and we can be overcomers on an ongoing basis. Many times we feel like we go around in circles, and it's because of a lack of maintenance. When we recognize when those issues come up that are causing me carpet trouble, and I take care of it, then my relationship with God stays clear. But one thing goes under the carpet, and then another goes under the carpet, and then another goes under the carpet, and finally you've got a couple hands full under the carpet, and we're sitting there saying, how did I ever get here? And we're not sure what happened. Well, we didn't stop it on the first one. We didn't stop it on the first one. 1 John 1 is another one that I wanted to read more of. It's very similar. Maybe I will leave it, but you read it. 1 John 1, verse 5 through 10, talks about light and darkness again, about confessing our sins and Him cleansing us through the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin. And he says at the bottom, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We're real people. When we put on that facade that tries to pretend, I don't have any sins, I'm all okay, he says, no, it's not that way. You need me. You need me. It's true. That's where we all are. We need him. And the more yielded we are, the more fruitful we can be for him. God bless you.